Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Growing up, I played baseball, and I was on our town's all-star team, and I actually started on the all-star team, and I remember when I was old enough to that it was no longer your town's all-star team, it was the county. And so I remember that drive to the tryouts for county all-stars, and I was thinking, man, I should be good enough to make this team. I should be good enough to start on this team. But what if I'm not? No, I have to be. And it's like I put this incredible burden on myself. When I was 18 years old, I went off to college, and in high school, I had never studied, didn't care about grades, but I decided now I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna study, I'm gonna get good grades, and suddenly, it's like I was weighed down by this burden I put on myself. I should get A's. I should get all A's. No, I should get the highest grade on every paper and every test. And so for 4 years, the professor would hand back our exams or our papers, and I would get mine, and it would say A, 97%. And after class, I would go up to the professor, and I would say, what was the highest grade anyone got? And if he said 98, I was furious with myself. I didn't meet my expectation. At 20, I became a Christian, and before that, I had never cared about sin. I mean, in fact, I had just tried to enjoy sin as much as I could, but now I was a Christian, and I decided I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to sin, like ever, and suddenly, I was weighed down by this burden I put on myself. I'd be like, I shouldn't have thought that, and how could I think this, and I would realize, sometimes I would realize I would sin, that I had sinned, and I would throw up. Like literally, I would puke. At 27, I started a church in Virginia, and man, I was going to go for it. We're going to reach more people, serve more people, change the world, and suddenly I was weighed down by this burden I had placed on myself. It's like there was all these times where I felt like I should be able to lead this better. I should see more growth. Why do we have less people this week than last week? Why is that church in Oklahoma growing faster than we are? And anything less than total success just wasn't acceptable. And just recently, I was listening to a message from another pastor, and as I listened, I thought, man, why don't I preach as good as he does? I should be better than I am. Well, that's me. But what I wonder is, how do you should on yourself? How do you should on yourself? Today, we're starting this brand new 4-week series called Should Happens. Because, well, it does. And what we're going to do for 4 weeks is we're going to talk about the shoulds. And my hope is that you'll join us for all 4 weeks of this series. The shoulds are the expectations that we place on ourselves, on other people, and even on God. They're expectations that probably won't be met, maybe can't be met, and lead us to stress and disappointment and frustration. Today, we're going to see how we should on ourselves. Man, we can be really hard on ourselves, and other people don't see it, but it's like in our minds, we convene this courtroom where we are the judge and jury, and we convict ourselves sometimes hundreds of times a day, feeling like what we did was wrong. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. In fact, this can be so deeply rooted in our lives that we may take a career path not because it's what I wanted to do, but because I felt like I should. We might marry a person, not because this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, but because I felt like I should. We might spend money and go into massive debt, not because we needed what we were buying, but because, I don't know, I felt like I should. And so again, what I wonder is, how do you should on yourself? What expectations do you have in your should case? Should case, you are in there. Hey. What burdens have you been carrying around? Let's kind of unpack some of these burdens that we place on ourselves. And one of the things I've noticed is that we have what we could call public shoulds, and then we have what we could call private shoulds. Public, external shoulds are the expectations that we got from someone else originally, but now we have taken as our own. And so maybe it's that your parents used to tell you that you should get married and have kids. And you adopted that expectation and put it on yourself. Maybe your parents aren't even around anymore, but still you hold on to that expectation. And so you're single, which is fine, and you could enjoy that, but you can't because you feel like you should be married by now. Or maybe you have a spouse who says that you should exercise and you should stay thin. And you've adopted the expectation, and now you put it on yourself, and you are constantly stressed about your weight and your appearance. Or maybe you had a boss, and your boss insisted that your job be your number one priority. You adopted the expectation, and you put it on yourself. You might not even have that same boss anymore, but even still, today, when you take a vacation, for some reason, you feel guilty. On a Saturday, when you decide that you're not going to work at all, you're just going to spend it with your family, it just kind of feels wrong. You know, these are heavy, but what I've discovered is that private shoulds are probably even worse. With these more inward shoulds, no one spoke them to us, and we don't speak of them. We could call these the SBDs. They're silent but deadly, right? They're the false expectations that we place on ourselves. They're lies that we tell ourselves about ourselves. The Bible says in a book called Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." What that's saying is, we are really good at lying to ourselves. We are really good at deceiving ourselves. And one of the ways we do that is by putting these private expectations on ourselves, where it's like, I feel like I should be the first one to work every day. I feel like I should have the best behaved kids. I feel like I should be the smartest person in every conversation. I feel like I can overcome this addiction on my own. I feel like I should be further along in my career by now. I feel like I should have a house that could be featured on HGTV and always looks that way. And so we go through life shoulding on ourselves, and we're carrying this unbearable burden. It's like we're stuck in this chase. It's kind of like we're being chased, constantly pursued by these demands that we've placed on ourselves, and like we're chasing something, some mysterious standard or goal or expectation, but it's like no matter how much we chase it, it never really feels any closer. And so we spend our lives chasing something that's always just out of our reach. Where do these shoulds come from? Where do they come from? Where do we get these expectations that we place on ourselves? Well, like I said, sometimes I think that we started shoulding on ourselves because we took on the expectations of another person and we placed them on ourselves and made them our own. And it's funny because they may not be thinking about us at all. We may not even have them in our lives anymore, but we can't stop thinking about the standards that we got from them, and we feel like we still need to meet. It's like we're still chasing those goals. Other times, I think the shoulds come from comparison. We look at our friends on Facebook and Instagram, and it's like, you know, this place where everyone presents the best versions of their lives. And they just share the new stuff that they're buying and the great things that they're doing. And it's like, we feel like, well, we should live up to their lives. We should have those things. We should be doing those things. Or we hear about our friends' kids, how they're playing baseball and they're playing basketball and soccer and learning karate and they're taking cello lessons and now they're in Mensa and they're in the junior baking championships. And what's wrong with my kids? Well, like my kid's learning how to pick his nose and the only competition he could do well in is making fart noises with his armpit. My kid should be better, should be smarter, should be in more activities. I should be a better parent. See, I think much of what we're doing when we scroll through people's stuff on social media is we're comparing. What we want to see how we measure up. What do they have that I don't have yet? What do they look like? Where are they going? Who are they going with? And it leaves us thinking, man, I should be better. I should be smarter, thinner, richer, funnier, taller. But think about it. We are literally comparing our normal days to their highlight reels. And so, of course, we can't keep up. It's like we're competing in this unwinnable race. And that's where we find ourselves. We're in this endless chase. We're in an unwinnable race. No wonder we feel burdened. And so what is the solution for shooting on ourselves? Well, the solution is grace. The solution is grace. That is the way that we can get free from this burden of the shoulds. It's grace. And we get grace from Jesus. I want you to check out the offer that Jesus made to us. We're going to put it on the screen along with all the Bible verses today. If you don't own a Bible like at home, we give them away for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. So look at Jesus' offer to you in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Listen, Jesus didn't come just to remove our sins. He also came to remove our burdens. He came because he wants to teach us a new way of life where we learn not to should on ourselves. It's the way of grace. Grace is love and acceptance. Grace is gentle and humble and easy and light. Grace literally means to get the opposite of what you deserve. So grace means I don't have to live up to the standards. I don't have to be good enough. I can fall under the standards and not be good enough, and that's okay because I know that I'm still loved and accepted. And all of that is possible because of Jesus. And so what all that means is I can stop the chase, leave the race, and rest in grace. How is that for the best news ever? Right? Like, that is the best thing ever. You can stop shooting on yourself. Like, if you want to try to be successful, cool, go for it. But there's no should. If you want to raise great, educated, accomplished kids, awesome. But there's no should. If you want to try to get straight A's in school, go for it. That's cool. But there's no should. There is no arbitrary standard you have to meet. There's no fear in like, what happens if I don't meet the standard? Now, the good news is I can stop the chase, leave the race, and rest in grace. I love the way one of my favorite authors says this. Brennan Manning writes, "Jesus Christ is crazy about you. He loves you just as you are, not as you should be." He loves you just as you are, not as you should be. That's truth. But when we should on ourselves, what we're doing is we're flipping that script and thinking that God won't love us until we're where we should be. The problem is that we'll never get to where we should be. But if we just let God love us where we are, And that will take us where we need to be. The life that Jesus came to offer us is gentle and humble and easy and light. So one thing we should do in life is we should look at our lives and say, is my life characterized by gentle, humble, easy, and light? If not, what that means is I'm not learning my way of life from Jesus. I may believe in him, I might go to church, but I am not living the life that Jesus has for me, because he said it's a life without burdens. It's a life that is gentle, humble, easy, and life. It's not a should life, it's a good life. And all of this means that we are free, right? Well, we should be. We can be. But even with this offer of grace, of living a good life instead of the should life, the most natural thing for us is to revert back to the shoulds. Because of Jesus, we don't have to live that way anymore, but we're always going to be tempted to go back and living that same old way. Why? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think part of it is just, I don't know. I think it's just our natural human tendency. There is something about us that just wants to compare, wants to compete, wants to meet standards and expectations. I think another part of it is we've lived that way for so long, and change is hard. Our whole lives, we felt like we had to live up to the standards. We thought we had to be good as other people or better than other people. And even now that there's this new life available to us, it's really hard to break free from the old way. And it's so easy for us to go back to the shoulds. We see this in a book of the Bible called Galatians. So the Bible is made up of 66 different books. One of them is called Galatians, and the theme of the entire book is this. It's a letter written by a guy named Paul. Sometimes he's called the Apostle Paul, and it's written to people who lived in an area called Galatia. They were the Galatians. And so these people, these Galatians, they had been taught about Jesus. They had put their faith in Jesus. They had received grace. Yes. But after moving into this good life, which is awesome, they found that the easiest thing to do was to revert back to the same old shoulddy life. That's exactly what happened to them. They went right back to imposing laws and standards and shoulds on themselves instead of resting in the grace of Jesus. And so Paul writes this letter to address this, and we're going to walk through a bunch of the letter, not because we care about the Galatian people, I don't care about them, but because we're going to find it totally applies to us today, okay? So let's walk through some of Paul's wisdom in Galatians. So chapter 1, verse 6, he writes, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Have you ever known someone who gave up something great for something not great? Probably all do, right? Here's one. Did you know that Walt Disney, the man Walt Disney, was rejected or fired over 300 times? Over 300 times, some employer rejected the creative genius of Walt Disney, and instead, they chose to hire we don't know who, right? Because they didn't choose a creative genius. They chose something not so great. And looking at it, it's like, how could you do that? Like, why would you do that? That's crazy. Well, I guess they just didn't realize what they had in Walt Disney. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, listen, this is crazy. Like, do you realize what you have in Jesus? You are given the opportunity to live in grace, to not have to should on yourself anymore, to not always be striving and chasing. And for some reason, some unimaginable reason, you are giving up on living in grace. And I hope that you realize, he writes, that by giving up on living in grace, you are giving up on, you are deserting the one who offered you grace. Man, why would someone do that? Well, again, it's part of our human natural tendency, and we've lived that way for so long. I don't know. It's easy to do that, but at the same time, it's stupid. Paul calls it astonishing. He's like, I am astonished because the way of God is so much better. Paul then goes on to define some of the old way of life, what it looks like and how it compares to this new life. Galatians 1:10, he says, am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, the should life focuses on other people. Part of the reason we should on ourselves is because we're comparing ourselves to other people. We're trying to impress other people. Often we get the shoulds from other people. But the good life, the life that you get when you give your life to Jesus, is not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. And man, there is an easy, a rest in that, because I know that God already approves of me. I already know he loves me. He continues in verse 11. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel, it's the good news, that I preach is not of human origin. See, the should life is of human origin. It makes sense. It just makes sense that we should have to live up to some standards, to some expectations, right? It's an idea. It's a system that people would come up with. In fact, we see it everywhere in our lives. You go to school and you get graded based on whether you meet the expectations. You go to work and you have performance evaluations and you get a bonus or you get a raise or you get a promotion based on whether you met the expectations or exceeded the expectations. It's a human way of thinking. The good life is something that no human would ever make up. No human would ever come up with it. It's this idea that, listen, no matter how much you sin, a perfect God loves you anyway. And your sin deserves punishment, but that perfect God sent his perfect Son who died on a cross, and his death takes all of your sin away. And your burdens are removed so you can now live in God's grace and freedom. No human would ever make that up. Well, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul tells us how the shoulds can sneak up on us. Verse 4, he says, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. So there were people who said they were Christians, but Paul says they're not Christians. They're false believers. They didn't understand grace, and grace is the heart of Christianity. But these false believers couldn't understand why the Galatians were no longer feeling obligated to live by the law and to live up to their expectations. And so they wanted to put the burden that Jesus had taken off the Galatians and put it back on the Galatians. I wonder if you've ever known a Christian like this. Now, I'm not talking about someone who wants to live a life that pleases God. Okay, that's a good thing. Like I want to. I don't want to sin. I don't want to. I don't want to sin because I love God, and I know when I sin, it hurts his heart. I don't want to sin because I love me, and I know when I sin, it hurts me. I don't want to sin because I love other people, and I know when I sin, it hurts other people. That's a good thing, and there's a big difference between that and taking a law-based, legalistic approach to Christianity, where the heart of it is not about love and about grace, but instead is about rules and enforcing them. That's what these false believers were all about. And these false believers, they should all over themselves. I don't think I'm going to get tired of doing this, by the way, in case you're wondering. Just 4 weeks. That was how these false believers were, and Paul calls them out. He says, no one can make us slaves again because we've been set free. We're free. Paul continues addressing the lie being taught by these false believers in verse 16. He says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by observing the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So it's like, yes, we all have these expectations. And yes, God has expectations. The problem is, no one can live up to the expectations. We just can't do it. It puts an impossible burden on us. But God created a new way. It's the way not of law, but of faith, of grace. This is the only way that works, but it's not the only way. That there are two ways, and each of us has to choose which way am I going to live my life. Paul tells his choice, the choice he made in chapter 2, starting in verse 19. He says, for when I tried to keep the law, when I tried to live the old way, the should way, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not trust the grace of God. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there would be no need for Christ to die. So what he's saying is, listen, if I kept trying to live by the requirements, by the expectations, I would be treating God's grace like it was meaningless. Jesus died so that I wouldn't have to keep living a should life. If I keep living that old life, then why did Jesus even die for me? I refuse, he says, to go back to living a life where I have to meet the standards and keep up the requirements. Paul's saying, I have made my choice, and that's my choice. And then in chapter 3, he writes about the choice the Galatians are making. He writes in verse 3, he says, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfected by your own human effort? Translation, quit shooting on yourself. That's what he's saying, right? He's like, I can't believe that you could experience grace and then go back to the chase, the race, and you've tasted the good life. Why are you going back to the should life? And then he reminds them of what that life was like in verse 23. He says, before faith in Christ came, we were held prisoners by the law. We were locked up. I wonder if you can relate to that. The pressure that you feel when there's all these expectations you have to meet. The noose around your neck that comes from trying to be good enough. Shooting on yourself makes you a prisoner. It's like, do you really want to keep living that way? Paul is saying to the Galatians, he's like, really? You're sure that you want to go back to that? And he makes a final plea in chapter 5, verse 1. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So it says yoke. A yoke was a wooden instrument that was put around the necks of two animals. Animals are yoked together because it connects them and it forces them to walk in the same direction at the same pace. That way they can be driven forward together and work together. The reality is we are going to be yoked to something in life. You're always going to be yoked to something. Whatever we're yoked to in life, that's going to determine the direction we go in. That's going to dictate the pace that we live our lives at. And there are two main options. Earlier, we saw Jesus inviting us to be yoked to him. Let's look at that again. Matthew 11, he said, take my yoke upon you. Okay, saying be yoked to me and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's saying, if you come in a relationship with me and learn a way of life from me, what you're going to realize is I'm gentle and humble, and your life will be filled with rest and ease and lightness, okay? The other yoke is a yoke of slavery, being a slave to the shoulds, a slave to the expectations of others, and especially the expectations we put on ourselves. Jesus described how that makes us feel in the previous verse, verse 28, where he said, weary and burdened. Right? That's the result of that yoke. And remember the offer he made to us. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, which yoke will it be? Will you continue to live the should life, yoked to the expectations and rules, driven by those expectations and rules, weary and burdened by those expectations and rules? Or will you choose the good life, yoked to Jesus, who promises to give you rest, who will teach you a new way of living where you are not trying to prove yourself and earn approval, but instead every day you live in the assurance that you already have God's approval? Man, doesn't rest sound good? Like, wouldn't it feel good to release your burdens? It's possible. It's available. It's the offer that we have available to us. So you can stop the chase. You can leave the race. And you can rest in grace. So I want to give you a minute on your own to pray about that, and then I'm going to end our time by praying with you. But in this minute, here's what I would encourage you to do, to ask yourself, which yoke am I living under? Now, I'm not saying, do you believe in Jesus? Which yoke am I living under? Is my life characterized more by weariness and feeling burdened, or by rest and ease? And if I realize that my life is more burdened and stressed, then I have to admit to myself that maybe I believe in Jesus, maybe I show up at church, but I have not learned my way of life from Jesus. I'm not living the life that Jesus is offering to me. And if that's so, let's pray. Like, let's ask God, I don't want to just believe in Jesus. I want to be yoked to him. I want to learn my direction and the pace of life from him so that I can live this life, this good life, instead of the old should life that's so easy to go back to. Okay? So I'm going to give you a minute, and then I'll pray with you. So let's take a minute to pray. God, the most natural thing in the world for us is to live the should life, to feel like there are expectations and demands and standards, and I have to do my best to meet them. And if not, I'm not performing well enough, and to put pressure on ourselves to do better. And you came not just to take away our sins, not just to get us to heaven someday, but to help us live a different kind of life now, here. It's a good life. It's a life that we learn from you. It's a life of grace. It's a life of realizing I don't need to earn anything. I've already got it. I don't need to earn approval. I don't need to make myself lovable, because God, you love me and you approve of me. And I rest in that. There's freedom in that. God, my prayer is that every single one of us, individually and us together as a community, as a church, that we would learn our way of life from you. God, I pray that the result, not just of today, but of these next 3 weeks as we do this series together, is that we would move from the should life to the good life. from a life where we're in this never-ending chase and this unwinnable race to a life that is truly marked by grace. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we have that available to us. Help us to choose to be yoked to Jesus. And I pray all this in his name. Amen.